Amen. I want to talk to you this afternoon on the topic, the surest way to beat the devil. The surest way to beat the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a passage of scripture in your Bible in the book of John and the 13th chapter. And it talks about the fact that Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and that he was going to God and that all things were given into his hands, took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And everything that he did from that point, that includes, of course, the communion and everything that happened at Gethsemane, and of course, everything that happened at the cross, begins with that statement, Jesus knowing that he came from God, knowing that he was going to God, knowing that God had given him everything necessary to be who he was and fulfill the call on his life. He did exactly what he was called to do. Now, he had to do this in the face of great opposition. And if we were to sum up the nature of the opposition that Jesus had to deal with, we could go back to the temptation that came to him when he was fasting and praying before his ministry began. And we could go all the way up to the accusation that was over his head when he was being crucified. The issue was always, if you are who God said you are, then this would be the case, or that would be the case. Therefore, you are not who God said you are. He was constantly being attacked with the idea that he was not who God said he was. And he was not who he said he was. He was not who he thought he was. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In other words, this is someone who is claiming to be someone that he's not. And that was the nature of the accusation. That accusation doesn't just apply to Jesus, but it applies to those who follow him. The attack is always the same. It might come in different forms, but it's always the same. You are not who God said you are. You are not who you think you are. You are not who you claim to be. And if Jesus had chosen to, he could have cited all of the wonderful things that were happening in his life. He could have talked about all of the signs and all of the wonders. And these are things that were real, and these were things that bore witness to who he was. But that wasn't the essential way that he ultimately defeated the lie of the devil. He could have talked about the wonderful works that he had done or the great words that he had spoken. He could have talked about the victory that he had over the elements, where he could speak to the wind and to the waves and tell them to be still. He could talk about the fact that he had power to cast out devils, or he could talk about the fact that he had power to heal the sick. He could talk about the fact that he had power to raise the dead. He could talk about the fact that people who came to arrest him would walk away saying, "We have never seen anyone speak like this before." And he could have gone on and on and on and on, but the accusations of the enemy would never have stopped. In fact, when we read our Bible, we see that no matter what Jesus did, the accusations never stopped. He would heal a man and they would say, oh, that must mean that he's doing it in the power of the devil. Or he would speak a certain word and they would say things like, oh, but that doesn't correspond to what the Pharisees are preaching. Or he would bring a certain amount of life and liberty into a situation and they would say, ah, but he's doing it on the Sabbath. That must mean that he's not who he says he is. So all of the wonderful things that Jesus said and all of the wonderful things that Jesus did was not going to stop the accusation of the enemy, no more than the accusation of the enemy will stop in your life, no matter what you do. You can go forth in the name of the Lord the same way Jesus said he would send us forth. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. But at the same time, he said that if the world hate me, it's also going to hate you. And that also applies to the enemy. If the enemy has accused the Lord, he's also going to accuse you. So when I talk about beating the devil, I'm not saying beating him at his own game. I'm not saying trying to outsmart him. And I'm not saying that we ought to expect that the accusations are going to stop. What I'm suggesting is that there is a way to beat him, whether he attacks or doesn't attack, whether he lies or whether he stays mum. It doesn't really matter. What ultimately matters is that we choose to be who we are no matter how often the accusations come. See, what Jesus did to beat the devil was that he simply went about being himself. The attack of the devil was, you are not who you say you are, or you are not who God says you are. If you were the Son of God, you would do it this way. If you are a child of God, you would do it that way. If you are a child of God, another thing would happen or another way would happen. And we see that happening not just to Jesus, but all throughout the scriptures to all of God's people. We hear, for instance, people saying to Paul, if you were a true apostle, why would you be going through times of persecution? And why would you find yourself in times of imprisonment and so on and so forth? You can't actually be an apostle. If you are a righteous man, Job, then why are you going through suffering? And why are you going through pain and things of that nature over and over and over again? And I want to suggest to you that the way we overcome that kind of accusation is not to expect that we can do enough good that the accusation stops, but that we choose to do what God has called us to do and to be who God has called us to be, irrespective of the lies of the devil. So that no matter what he says, and no matter how often he says it, and no matter how loudly he says it or how subtly he says it, we make up our minds that we are going to be exactly who God has called us to be. We're going to do exactly what God has called us to do, and we're going to say exactly what God has called us to say, irrespective of how many lies come down the pike. This is why we see Jesus knowing who he was, Jesus knowing that he had come from God, and Jesus knowing that he was going to God, and Jesus knowing that God had given him everything necessary to fulfill the call on his life, the first thing he did, the Bible says, was he took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. So the first thing I want to suggest to you is when the enemy persists in telling us that we are not who we actually are, if we allow him to get through on any serious level, what happens is we begin to overcompensate on the other side and begin to try to prove that we are who we say we are. And sometimes we will do it in ways that are not healthy. We begin to overcompensate for the doubt that the enemy is sowing into our hearts. And before you know it, we begin to walk in an inflated view of ourselves and sometimes allow ourselves to become self-defensive and sometimes allow ourselves to become a bit arrogant. The way the other disciples might have been whenever they were sitting in that room, knowing that somebody had to take the lowest seat. And none of them chose to take the lowest seat. Because there was something in them that said, this is beneath me because I'm this. Now, the Lord calls us by his name, calls us the apple of his eye, calls us his beloved. And if we cling to that, then we don't need to lift ourselves up. But if we allow that to start slipping from us, then we start to overcompensate. By lifting ourselves up, before you know it, we're striving against one another. And we're trying to one-up one another. And when we see a need, we think it's beneath us or it's below us. And so we don't find ourselves reaching out to help one another. But because Jesus was absolutely certain that he was who God said he was. He was absolutely certain over against every lie of the devil. He was in a position to take the lowest seat because when you know who you are in Christ, nobody can tell you otherwise. And so you don't have to feel any need to make yourself out to be this thing or that thing or the other thing. When you and I know who we are in Christ, then we can take the lowest seat. There's nothing too low for us. There's nothing beneath us. When we see a need, we're in a position to meet it. And that's how we beat the devil. Because the enemy's not going to stop lying to you and telling you that you're not who God said you are. And so we either succumb to that and then try to overcompensate over this side, or we say, no, I don't believe that. I know who I am in God. I know that I came from God. I know that I'm going to God. And I know that God has given me everything to fulfill the call of God upon my life in this generation. So I don't have to elevate myself because God has already elevated me. I don't have to lift myself up because God has already lifted me up. The Bible said that he first descended into the depths of the earth. That means he died for me. And then when he rose again, he brought me with him so that we are seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We don't have to lift ourselves up. We can take the lowest seat and still be exalted to the highest heaven because that's the nature of what God has done in us. The Bible says that he is the high and lofty one, yet he lives with that one who is of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. This glorious Jesus taught us to be so certain that we are exactly who he said we are, that it allows us to take the lowest seat. Secondly, the Bible says that in that same context, Jesus began to sing songs. Now, you have to understand, they're in this room. And everything around them, everything outside of that room is beginning to encroach, a circle encroaching tighter and tighter. And everybody in that circle is saying, you are not who God said you are, or you are not who you say you are. You are not the Son of God. You are not the King of Israel. You are not the Messiah. This is what all of the voices are saying. This is why they killed him. This is what they were trying to infect his mind with. But he just would not buy it. He just would not believe it. So the Bible says that in that context, he began, along with his disciples, to sing songs to God. In other words, what he said is, nobody's going to rob me of my song. Nobody is going to take away from me the praise that I have in my heart for the Lord. Amen. Nobody is going to make it so that the songs that I sing become flat or become dry. Nobody's going to make it so that when I sit in a congregation like this, I can't lift up my hands and sing praise to the Lord. Nobody is going to bring an accusation against me that's going to keep my hands down. Remember the fact that we lift up our hands not because we are worthy, but because He is worthy. We remind ourselves that we have been given the grace of God to sing songs to God, and that is who we are. We are instruments of God's praise because of the grace of God that abides in us. See, Jesus knew that He came from God. He understood the origin of His praise. The origin of your praise and of my praise is not our own righteousness. It's not our own ability. It's not an innate gift that we have. It is the gift that comes from God. It is something that God does. We are instruments of God's praise. We are songs that are sung based upon the fact that there is a song being sung over us. The Bible says that God rejoices over us with singing. And so we simply join in on that song. The devil might say to you that you are not an instrument of God's praise, that you don't have the right to sing a song to God. But as far as the Bible is concerned, you are the instruments of the praise of God. God rejoices over you with singing, and He invites you into a duet. He is never expecting you or me to sing a solo. It is always a duet. God is always singing with us. God is always singing over us. We are the instruments of the praise of God. And the Bible says that the Lord abides in the praises of His people. Jesus knew that He was an instrument of praise, and so He sang His song. Doesn't matter how many people outside of those doors were telling Him, "You are not who you think you are." Doesn't matter how many people outside of those doors were saying to Him, "Who do you think you are?" Doesn't matter how many people were trying to destroy Him and bring Him down because they were trying to cause Him to question the grace of God upon Him. He sang His song. And not only that, but He chose to celebrate the Passover. In the midst of all of the turmoil, knowing that the devil was trying to kill Him, and not just physically, but spiritually cause Him to deny Himself. Knowing all the danger around Him, knowing all the lies swirling in the atmosphere, He chose to celebrate the Passover. Now, the Passover was a celebration of God's great victory, of God's great delivering power, of God's great liberty. This was a celebration of freedom. It was when God said to Israel, "You are free now." When God said to Israel, "I don't care what Pharaoh has said to you, you are free now. I don't care what the devil has said to you, you are free now. I don't care what the world tried to say. I don't care what fear or flesh tries to say, you are free now." So what we're doing is we're saying, "I don't really care what's being said, whether it's the world or the flesh or the devil. I am free." So we begin to walk in newness of life. We begin to walk in liberty. See, the devil is trying to say, "You're not free," but then we live a life that says, "Yes, we are." The devil is trying to say that you have not had the bands broken, but we live a life that says, "Yes, we have." The devil tries to say, "You have not been given victory over this or victory over that." And then we go ahead and live a life that says, "Yes, we have been given victory. Yes, we are overcomers. Yes, we are champions because of the grace of God. Yes, we can overcome this sin or that frailty or that fault. Yes, we can go from glory to glory. Yes, we can go from image to image. Yes, we can go from faith to faith," because that's what the Lord said. The enemy wants to say, "No, you can't get victory over this thing." Problem is, the Bible says we can. The enemy wants to say, no, you'll never have victory over that thing. Problem is, the Bible says, yes, we can. So we have got to make a decision to celebrate the Passover. And we have to do it in the context of all of the lies and the accusation that the enemy is going to try to throw at us. See, this is how we beat the devil. Because he begins to say to us, you will never overcome. And then we overcome right in his face. Hallelujah. 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 We walk in victory. Step by step. Day by day. Victory after victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how we beat the devil. By showing the grace of God in our lives. Celebrating the Passover. Because God pronounced victory over our lives. And we walk in that victory. Moreover, at that meal, before they got into the depths of the communion, he knew that there was somebody trying to hurt him. Somebody who was denying who he was. Somebody that was saying, along with the people that were trying to hurt Jesus, I thought he might have been the Messiah, but I guess he's not, that kind of a thing. Who bought into the lies of the Pharisees, but who was sitting there at the table with the Lord. And there are going to be people sometimes closer to you than some of the others on the outskirts. And they're going to tell you that you're not who God said you are. And sometimes it's not going to be people out there. Sometimes it'll just be a voice. And what we have to do is we have to choose to be the fullness of who we are, which includes, as in the case of Jesus toward Judas, includes kindness, includes love, includes mercy, includes him taking that bread and handing it to Judas, giving him one more opportunity, because every now and again, when you're being told over and over again that you're not who you are, there's a defense mechanism that builds up. Especially when it comes from people who are close to you. And sometimes we forget the call to be merciful. The call to be kind. The call to love. When Jesus handed Judas the bread, it was an act of mercy. It was an act of friendship. It was saying, this is who I am. What he was saying to Judas was, look, I know who you've chosen to be, but I'm still who God has made me to be. And there comes a time in your life and in mine when somebody's going to be sitting from across the table from you sometimes. There are some people in here who you're serving the Lord, but your neighbor, your friend, your spouse, your sometimes your parents, sometimes your children are not serving the Lord, and sometimes they'll mock you. And they might see some things in you, or maybe a flaw in you here or there. Of course, we know Jesus had no sin, but that didn't mean he was immune from the accusation. How much more are we going to be accused? But you know, if we allow them to shake us from our foundation, then it makes it so that from their perspective, at least, their statements seem to be justified. Maybe you're not who you say you are, because I understand that Christian people are supposed to be loving and caring and forgiving and things of that nature. We don't receive their condemnation. We know that we're still growing and developing, but what we do is we do what Jesus did, and we do it by his grace, because he lives in us. And we hand them mercy. We hand them forgiveness. We hand them love. That's how we beat the devil. We choose to keep loving. As Pastor said this morning, even in times when we're not loved, we choose to keep loving. We choose to keep giving. We choose to keep helping. We say, I'm not going to allow the fact that you don't believe who I am, I'm not going to allow that to make me into something that I'm not. I'm not going to allow an accusation to fulfill itself because I'm not allowing the grace of God to cause me to respond in a way that bears witness to the fact that I am what God made me to be. I'm going to give. I'm going to love. I'm going to show mercy. I can't do this in my own strength, no more than you can. But we can do it in the strength of the Lord. And it's one of the ways that we beat the devil. Another thing you'll see is Jesus says, this is me. This is my body given for you. This is me. See, when the enemy can convince us that we aren't who we are supposed to be, then we feel like we have nothing to give. All of a sudden, we're not trying to serve anymore. We're not trying to help anymore. So what Jesus did to beat the devil was to say, this is me for you. In other words, what he was saying is, I don't care what they're saying out there. I got something to give. I don't care what the accusations are saying. I have something to offer. I have something to bring to the table. Because I am who God made me to be. I am who God says I am. I am exactly what God says about me. And I couldn't care less what the devil is trying to say. Every now and again, praise God, the enemy is going to say to you, you're not who you say you are, therefore you have nothing to give. Don't bother volunteering for this ministry. Don't bother trying to reach out to the needs of the needy. Don't, because every time you try to give, he's going to say, no, you're a hypocrite because you know that such and such and so. Now, again, you understand I'm talking to people who are celebrating the Passover, people who are allowing God's victory to flow in our lives, even though we're going from day to day, from step to step, from glory to glory, image to image, faith to faith. In other words, we're growing and we're developing, but we are moving on the path. Anybody like that, that is to say, anybody who's not walking in blatant impenitence, but people who are saying, God, help me, take me by my hand and walk me down this path. Everybody who fits that category has something to give, something to offer, something to bring to the table. If the enemy is trying to shut you down and tell you you don't have anything to offer this community, but you're saying, hey, I'm a Christian person. I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to change me from day to day. I'm telling you, you have something to bring. You have something to offer to this community. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this church is not what it's supposed to be without you. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not who you're supposed to be. Don't let him tell you that you are not what God has made you to be. Because it keeps you from giving. It keeps you from helping. It keeps you from making a difference in the community. And then the last thing I want to suggest is, as he gave the bread and he gave the juice, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The surest way to beat the devil is to cling to the new covenant. Cling with all of your might to the fact that you are who God said you are because he is who he says he is. And everything that we are, as Paul said, is based upon the grace of God. Paul said about himself, I'm the chief of sinners, yet I am what I am by the grace of God. And what it finally comes down to is whenever the devil comes to you and to me with an accusation, there's another accusation behind it, a more serious accusation behind it. And that accusation has not so much to do with us as it has to do with God. You're not who you are because God is not who he is. If you are God's son, then make these stones bread. Or the question behind that is, if God is your father, why are you hungry? Shouldn't he be taking care of you? Isn't God giving you enough grace to be who he said you could be? Isn't God giving you enough grace to walk in victory? Isn't God giving you enough grace to walk in fullness and in newness? And you and I simply say, the God that we serve is a covenant God. That means he's a God who makes a promise and keeps it. He's a God who says a thing and does it. And my entire life is based upon his covenant faithfulness. My entire life is based upon the fact that he cannot lie. My entire life is based upon the fact that he is a God who knows how to do exactly what he said he would do. And he said he would make me new. He said he would give me life. He said he would give me hope. He would give me health. He would give me strength. He would give me victory. He would give me freedom. He said he would give me a song. He said he would cause me to praise his name. He told me that I would be able to live a good and a holy life in his strength and in his name. He said that I would be called by his name. He said that I would be the apple of his eye. He said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said that he was with me always, even to the end of the age. He said that I would go forth in the same power as the Father has sent me, so sent I. You. He said that I would be in a position where I can meet the needs of those who were needy, where I could reach out to those who had no hope, where I could preach this gospel to those who had no understanding of this truth. He said that I would make a difference in this generation, and the God that I serve cannot lie. He said that I would be a good person, that I would be a true person, that I would be a just person, that I would be a holy person. He said it, and he based it upon his own name, not on any strength that I have in myself, but on the strength that is in God and in God alone. Whatever I am because I am that I am is who he is. By the grace of the Almighty God, I am what he has chosen me to be. You are who he has chosen you to be. Do not believe the lie of the devil. Cling to the new covenant. Cling to the word of God. Cling to his faithfulness and beat the devil down. Beat him hard, beat him fast, beat him good. Beat the devil down. Rejoice in who you are. The surest way to beat the devil is by being yourself. Surest way to beat the devil is by being who God has made you to be. Be yourself all up in his face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cling to the new covenant. Cling to the God of the covenant. And overwhelm the devil in this generation. I want to pray with you this afternoon. Devil been trying to lie to you today. Even as you were trying to sing your songs to the Lord, he was trying to whisper in your ear and say, you don't belong here. You don't deserve to be here. I'm telling you, as long as you put your faith in Jesus, as long as you put your hope in him, I'm not talking about somebody who wants to hold on to their sin and couldn't care less about the liberating power of the Holy Spirit. For a person like that, I would say you need to if you have turned away, rededicate your life to Christ. And if you haven't known Jesus, you need to know Jesus. But I'm talking in this room more specifically to Christians. Love Jesus with all your heart and all your soul. But the enemy has been lying to you today. He's been lying to you for a few days. I'm telling you, you don't belong, that you're not who God made you to be, that you are not who you say you are, that you are not who he says you are. I'm telling you that in order to believe that, you have to believe that the one who made you who you are is not who he is. So we reject that. And what we're going to say as we pray to the Lord is, Lord, reveal yourself to me once again, because I know that, as John said, when we see him, we will be like him. And so we see him and we remind ourselves of who we are, right? Remember James said, you know, we don't want to be like those people who just kind of look in the mirror and then you turn away and my goodness, you forget what you look like. So we're not asking God, show me who I am. We're saying, God, show me who you are. And as I look into my reflection in God's eyes, I don't just see who I am, I see his love for me. I'd rather look into the eyes of God and see my reflection than look into a cold, dead mirror. I look into his eyes and I see myself as the apple of his eye, but I also see the love that he has for me in his eyes. And I'm reminded, oh yeah, that's right, that's who I am. So we're going to say, God, I want to look into your eyes. And I want to see not only who you've made me to be, but I want to see why you did all of this. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten son. If the devil's been lying to you, it's time to beat the devil by allowing God to remind us of who he is and who we are in him. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If the enemy has been lying to you, I want to pray with you. Would you come to the front of the auditorium? We're going to sing a song or two, and then we're going to pray together in the name of that great and holy Savior. The Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. What a wonderful Savior. What a glorious Jesus. One of the things that I've learned is that you and I can cite everything that we've done and all of our experiences. As I mentioned before, that's not going to shut the devil up. We can talk about the fact that we've been here and we've done that. That's not going to shut him up. In fact, sometimes it spurs him on. But when we decide that we're just going to be becoming who we are, allowing God to draw us deeper and deeper into his grace, it might not shut the devil up, but it causes us to sing. It causes us to praise. See, I'm not interested in shutting the devil up. I just don't want to shut up. Amen. Evidently, somebody said, no. I just want to keep on praising, keep on singing, keep on worshiping, keep on blessing. I want to keep on giving. I want to keep on reaching out. I want to keep on making a difference. So I'm not interested if the devil stops. I just don't want to stop. I want to keep on doing what God has called me to do and be what God has called me to be. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much. Lord, we love you so very much. And we know that your word spoken over us will put 1,000 lies to flight. And your song sung over us will spur us on to sing. Lord, you taught us mercy and kindness and tenderness, even in the face of accusation. And you made us to understand that we can celebrate victory even as we go through the process of being sanctified. We can celebrate even though our life moves from day to day and from grace to grace and from faith to faith. We can celebrate freedom because we know that we serve a covenant God. A God who will do exactly what he said he will do. And who makes us exactly who he said we are. We come against every lie of the devil, therefore. We refuse the lie that says, you're not who you are. No, we say, no, no, no. In order for that to be God, has got to be something than what he said he is. Because I put my faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God cannot lie. He cannot fail. He cannot be swayed by the temptation or by the accusation of the devil. And so neither will we be, as the scripture said, because the Lord is at my right hand, I will not be moved. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We bless you for it. And our prayer is that we simply beat the devil by being ourselves. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.